I want to just say one thing to you before we begin, and we will talk about it a little later. Do you know about Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? Think about that. The last few weeks, we've been talking about what's happened with the Israelites and how it began with God picking one man, Abraham, as his chosen person. And then as it progressed, the Israelites became a family. And then from there, the Israelites became a nation. And so here we come out of the country of Egypt, where they had gone 400 years before, with Joseph being sold there and becoming the second in command to Pharaoh. And all of his family came to Egypt because there was famine in their land, and they were given a prime spot in Egypt where they did very well. Areas that were rich in food for their animals to graze, and their families grew, and they were happy. But they were there for 400 years. Now, Pastor told us when he first came, one of his first sermons, that God's timing is not our timing. And so we know that. But by the end of this time period, the Israelites had become slaves to the people of Egypt. And they weren't happy, and the Egyptians were not happy that they were doing so well, and perhaps they would even try to take over. That isn't the case. But now, here we are in and the Israelites have gone across the river safely with all their paraphernalia, all their animals, all their kids, all their stuff. I'm still trying to get over where those women found those tambourines. If I were packing up my stuff, I don't think my tambourine would be at the top. But the women had tambourines, and they played, and they danced, and they had a great time, and it was a joyous time. But as they went along, as per usual for us, we have to grumble and complain and say, Lord, is this what we get? But God is always there to take care of us. Now, the theme throughout the Bible has always been that the Lord will never leave us. He will never leave us. And so they should have thought that, but they weren't, because they were thirsty and they were hungry, and they said, if you'd left us in Egypt, we at least have food to eat, and now we've got nothing. And Moses and Aaron were like, sorry guys, you're talking to the wrong folks. God is providing for us. So they said, okay. Now, our generous God that loves us more than anything is also our gracious provider. And so what did he do? He said, okay, you're going to get quail at night, and you're going to get bread in the morning, and you'll have your fill. At, don't take more than you need. Just take what is important to you and your family, and you'll have enough. Now, we know that in many cases that God always, always provides. One of the great hymns is Great is Thy Faithfulness. And part of that is All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. We need to remember that. It's not what we want. It is what we need. And that's what God says he's going to do, is provide for our needs. The same thing in Philippians. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to his gracious riches in Christ Jesus." Also, the Old Testament from Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will give you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame." Psalm 107 says, "For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." So we're promised that throughout all times that God will provide for us. Now, I will tell you that God didn't promise us a perfect life. And yeah, we'll have suffering, and yeah, we'll have some problems, but he will always be there. He will never, never leave us. And I think that we forget that we can go to him and say, "Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but you need to help me." And he will. And he will. Now, I have a list here, and maybe you should, it's quite a lengthy list, but I will read it pretty quickly. And listen, and maybe you'll hear one or two things that might be directed toward you or that you might understand. God will help you deal with troubled or difficult times. Put God first. The Lord can give you the courage and strength to meet any challenge. Because God is faithful, you can always have hope. And oh my, isn't that the answer for our lives? Hope. Patience is a powerful tool for dealing with difficult times. We, as human beings, have a very short time dealing with patience because we wanted it yesterday. And like I'll say, that pastor said to us, our timing is not God's timing, so perhaps we should learn a little more patience. And God guides us through difficult times. No problems are too big for God. When times are tough, you must guard your heart and your thoughts. When you're dealing with difficult times, you must learn the art of acceptance. We might not like the answer, but if we ask God to let us be in his will, it will be the right answer. Failure isn't final. The Lord is your protector in good times as well as in difficult times. We must ask God for the things we need. Not the things we want, but the things we need. The Lord will renew your spirit. In every season of life, God provides important things for renewal and growth. The Lord will help you meet any and every challenge. The Lord will provide the power of enthusiasm. You can learn to control your emotions with God's help. Fear not. Avoid needless and fruitless complaints. God's forgiveness is always, always available. God has given you talents, and he wants you to use them. And for that, I must say that this church is so blessed to have talented people who step out and use their talents for praise and worship. And I am so thankful for that, and I know many of you are as well. It is important to get enough rest. I know you've heard that from your doctor, you've heard it on TV, you heard it on the radio, but it is important to get enough rest. Correct your mistakes and move on. Be optimistic. When something needs to be done, do it now. I'm a one that procrastinates a little too much, but this is a very good one for me. If it needs to be done, do it now. Ask God to help you get beyond anger. We get angry at folks. We get angry at situations. We get angry just because it is what we have inside of us. But get beyond that anger. When you're dealing with difficult times, the Lord will sustain you. That's a promise. And perseverance always pays. In every season of life, keep growing. Don't stop, just keep growing. And just remember about the power of prayer. God created you, and you're special, but He created you for a specific purpose. Know what that purpose is and follow His direction. When you're experiencing tough times, keep working at those tough times. God will give you the strength to deal with them. Pray that you will place your past in the past. And stay focused on God's gift of eternal life. We know that in all things He gives us His love, His understanding, and His complete support of all our needs. Now, earlier I asked you, do you know about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? The scriptures, which we are so blessed to have, that we can go to those scriptures each day, each moment of each day, and check them out. The scriptures were written in eternity. And Christ in eternity was really a part of those scriptures, and He knew what it was. The scriptures show us the nature of our sinful condition, introduce us to the grace of God, and reveal to us the glory of Christ Jesus, our Savior. The scriptures provide us with everything we need for a life of faith and godliness, a life of hope and eternal peace. And of course, there's one whose authority far surpasses even the most distinguished and the most celebrated academics of our time and the past time. Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus, God of very God, who existed from before eternity, was eyewitness to all events that took place in what was happening in the Old Testament. We read that, and some people say, oh, it's so boring to read the Old Testament. It isn't boring if you take the time and ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind so that you understand what it is that God is trying to impart to you. Another thing is Jesus never spoke of anything about Noah and the flood. He didn't speak about Jonah and the whale. However, he stood firmly on the word of God. Now, we've had these stories before about Jesus being tempted by Satan. Now, when he was with Satan, Jesus didn't debate Satan or Satan's theology, nor did he go after Satan's credentials, but rather he rebuked Satan with scripture saying, "It is written." Do you know that that's amazing? Because Satan never tried to discredit the word of God. He never refuted it. He actually quoted it, even though he twisted the words around, which he is inclined to do even today, to muddle our brains and to make things murky, because he's the deceiver. So we know Satan is alive and well and doing what he does, which is terrible. But we also know that our Lord Jesus has the strength to push Satan away. In James 2:19, it says that even the demons believe and tremble. The Spirit of Truth, which we know to be the Holy Spirit, guides us and does not speak on his own, but that he speaks only what he hears and what he's told is to come. I ask you again, do you know about Jesus, or do you know Jesus? Each of us, I think, have had a friend, a very close friend who we've confided in and told them things that we wouldn't tell everybody. And we've probably told them things that are a little embarrassing or a little perplexing to us, but that friend loves us. But let me tell you, there is no friend better than the Lord Jesus. And we even have a song by that. What a friend we have in Jesus. So I tell you, don't just know about Jesus. Know him. Know him intimately. Give your life to him. Have him help you, because he is there to do that. And there is nothing, not anything, that he doesn't know about you. There's nothing he hasn't known about you since before you were created and were born. And he is there to love you, forgive you, give you strength and courage to just deal with everyday activities, everyday perplexes, everyday problems. So open your heart wider than you can think that you can do it, and have him come in and just give you that peace that passes all understanding. And knowing him and loving him and letting him be the master and Lord of your life will be the best thing you can ever do for yourself. And for that, I say, thank you, Lord. Amen.